Wisconsin Eye's 2019 Republican State Convention in Oshkosh, interviewing Congressman Sean Duffy from the 7th District. Congressman, thanks for taking time with us.
Yeah, it's good to be with you.
The term I hear, not my term in Washington, is that we're in a constitutional crisis. Are we, sir?
If we are, it's that you had a liberal, democratic, deep state coup against a sitting president. I mean, the bottom line is Donald Trump ran a race where he had a plane and a great speech and inspired America and won. And I don't think the left saw that coming. And they've tried to undo the will of the people with this fake Russia investigation. What frustrates me is you had, you know, liberals for 2 years, in essence, say, Bob Mueller is the gold standard. Let's wait for his report to come out. Well, it comes out and says, Donald Trump didn't collude with Russia. What's the constitutional crisis but for the fact that the Democrats don't want to accept the results of the last election? If you don't like the results, look to 2020. Try to beat Donald Trump there. But don't try to use the deep state of government or the FBI or the DOJ and try to undo the will of the people. And I'm frustrated that the Democrats have not accepted those results and still are trying to destroy Donald Trump with, I think, ridiculous investigations.
The president is invoking executive privilege over documents and over the potential testimony by former members of his administration. Is that the proper execution of the term executive privilege, Sean?
Well, so from my view, I think it is, but the courts will decide. I mean, I was the oversight chair on financial services. A lot of documents we tried to get. The president would exert executive privilege over those documents. If you don't agree, you can go to the courts and have them decide for you. But I do think, you know, Don McGahn, you know, in the White House, of course, I think that falls under executive privilege. So I think, let's take a step back. Donald Trump was wildly cooperative with the Mueller investigation, right? I mean, Don McGahn spent, you know, tens of hours with the investigators. He let them have access to everybody on his team, gave them millions of documents. The gold standard investigator, Bob Mueller, had access to everything. And so what, now the Democrats want to redo the Bob Mueller investigation that they said was going to be the gold standard? Doesn't make sense to me. Donald Trump has cooperated with Bob Mueller. He found no Russia collusion. And what, now Democrats are trying to redo it? Donald Trump has said, no, we're done with this. The results are in. As I've known from the beginning, I didn't collude with Russia enough. I'm not cooperating with you Democrats in the House.
Congressman Nadler versus Trump. Speaker Pelosi versus Trump. How does this all end, do you think?
So
this movie here.
Well, so first of all, I think if you look at Wisconsin, which I know best, people want you to fight for them. They want you to focus on them and their lives and their family. And Donald Trump won because he did focus on people who had been forgotten for so long. And he's delivered for them. I mean, this economy is roaring. The last quarter, we had 3.2% growth. Last year, we grew at just about 3%. So people are making more money. They have more opportunity. When their kids graduate from school, whether it's high school, tech school, or college, they're getting a job. And they're making good money. They can buy a mortgage, or they can pay their rent. They can pay their student loans back. Donald Trump and Republicans, through a free enterprise system, have made this economy explosive. And it's had real impacts on people's lives. I think when Americans look at Nancy Pelosi and Jerry Nadler, they'll say, well, what are you doing to make my life better? You told me on Russia collusion I was supposed to look to Bob Mueller. He said it didn't exist. And you're continuing to fight Donald Trump. Stop fighting Donald Trump and instead fight for me. And they're not fighting for the people. Instead, they're fighting a political war in Washington. And I think that's going to have some significant consequences for them in 2020 at the ballot box.
Are people in the 8th District upset about the Nadler Pelosi versus the president? You've just said that the president's policies has improved their generally improved their economic lifestyles.
It has. In the 7th District.
In the 7th. Thank you for the correction. Are they following events in Washington, this political back and forth?
So I think a lot of people understand the backdrop of the Russia investigation. They couldn't get away from it for 2 years. Everyone was talking about it. And they also followed the fact that it didn't exist. And I also think, maybe to a lesser degree, they know that Democrats are just focusing on the fight. So yeah, I think that does penetrate. And I don't think, again, it bodes well. Now, is this at the forefront of the issues for them? No, I mean, we all care about our own families first, our own kitchen table issues. But in the political backdrop, they see what's going on, and I don't think they approve of it. And by the way, that's why in the last election, Democrats kept running and saying, we're not going to impeach Donald Trump. That's not what we're doing. We're going to focus on you. And then they won the House, and they're focusing on Donald Trump, not what they promised to do, which was focus on the American people.
Do you welcome the Attorney General's appointment of a U.S. attorney to look at potential spying, to use the Attorney General's term in his testimony on the Trump campaign?
Absolutely. So here you have Bob Mueller finding that there was no collusion between Trump and Russia. And you had a two-year investigation. How did that happen? Who pushed it? How high does it go? Does it go to Valerie Jarrett and Barack Obama? Who knew about it? Who authorized it? How did it happen? I think we have every right to know that. And if people, you know, committed crimes, I think we have to look at holding people accountable. So, yeah, and I mean, what frustrates me, too, is we're talking about Russia collusion. The only collusion that I've seen is Hillary Clinton and the Democrat National Party colluded through a law firm and Christopher Steele to get information from what country? Russia. Russia informants in a dirty dossier that started an investigation on Donald Trump that was bogus. So I think the question is, you know, if you look at the informants from Russia that have ties into the Kremlin, did they play the Democrat Party? Did they play the FBI? Did they play the DOJ? And the whole media to start an investigation on our president is really the scandal that they bought into the fake Russia dossier? I think we have a right to know that. And Democrats who said, I care about Russia influence in American elections, you got to look at that. Because, again, this has consumed our country for 2 years. We have a right to know, how did this start? Was this a disinformation campaign that came from the Russians? And who were all the players in it? So, yeah, I support a look back to see what went wrong. And by the way, the results of that look back, unlike Democrats in the Mueller report, I'm willing to accept the results of that investigation.
Should Mr. Mueller testify before the Congress? And if so, if you're on a committee that he's testifying before, any specific questions you'd ask him?
You know, first of all, I think Mueller did a report. He did his obligation. He put his findings out there. You know, and the bottom line is, he said no Russia collusion. What more do you want to know? Are you searching for other dirt? Are you searching, you know, for, you know, some little crack that you can drive an impeachment train through? Maybe. But the start of this was Russia collusion. The findings have been put out. Let it die. Why are we again going to focus on trying to bring Bob Mueller in? He told you his results. He told you about his investigation. He put it in a 400-page report. Let it go.
I want to ask you about a comment Rachel made this week on Fox. She said that Christians are the most persecuted faith now. I assume you agree with that. Can you put that in context? After Vice President Pence told the Liberty graduates, you will be persecuted for your faith, can you elaborate either on what she said or what you believe?
So I'm not sure the stats that she had for that, but I think if you look over to the Middle East and the eradication of, you know, Christians in the Middle East, it's happening at an alarming rate. But even in our own country, look at the race with Judge Hagedorn. The fact that you had a Supreme Court candidate who has started a Christian school that believes in Christian principles, and that the left tried to bludgeon him for being a Christian and saying that because you're a Christian, you're unfit to sit on the court. Now, the Wisconsin voters, I think that really made them angry, and they came out in droves to vote for Judge Hagedorn. And by the way, a Wisconsin population that's pretty accepting of a lot of different viewpoints, but they also think we should be accepting of a Christian viewpoint. I think we saw firsthand this effort to take down a man with a wife and a family who's a Christian because of his Christian views.
The Mueller report talked about Russia's attempt to influence, to hack, to influence the election. Are you satisfied with the additional precautions that we've taken in cybersecurity so that they cannot try to influence in the 2020 election, sir?
I guess I'm not fully up to speed on what precautions we've taken. I would just say from my perspective, I think it's really important that we have paper ballots and we have offline counting machines so you can't hack the actual vote of the American people. But I want to also note, as there's been outrage about Russia hacking, which I agree. I mean, if anyone tries to influence our election from an outside country, we should all stand up and push back to jealously preserve what is truly American. But Barack Obama was the president during the last election. What did he do to stop Russian influence? I think he told Vladimir Putin to knock it off. That was the extent of what Barack Obama did to stop Russia meddling, which was basically nothing. And so my view is we do have to take, whether it's Russia or any other country, take their effort to influence our elections and impact electoral results seriously and have zero tolerance for it.
Farmers in the 7th District, there, I got it right that time,
and did.
Throughout the nation, should they be satisfied when President Trump said, stay with me on this tariff issue, you're going to be okay? Are your farmers in the district, are they satisfied with that?
So I'll answer your question. Let me just back up a second, okay?
Yes, sir.
So President Trump is pushing China, right? And you have to ask yourself, why? What has President Trump asked for from China, right? What he said is,
A level trading.
He said, stop stealing our stuff. We can't invest $100 million in technology and you have someone in a basement who steals it from our company and then comes out and produces the exact same product that we invested in. Mm-hmm. So stop stealing our stuff. Stop the forced transfer of technology when you do business in China, which means you got to give your technology over to the Chinese when you do business in China. You got to stop that. You got to stop having state-sponsored corporations. It's hard for a free enterprise system to compete against the government of China. You got to stop that. And by the way, finally, you got to stop producing fentanyl and driving it into America and killing our people. That's what he asked for. And the Chinese said no to that. We can't deal with that. That was the deal they basically redlined 2 weeks ago. And so I think my farmers, they agree with the rising threat of China. They understand that if we don't deal with China today, we are going to regret it 10 or 15 years from now. With that said, China's smart. They know that the Achilles heel is American agriculture. So they're coming after not just corn and soybeans. If they can't access our milk market, they're trying to do that. But they're going after cranberries and ginseng as well.
Yes.
And China's a big market for both of those products. And so there's a lot of concern with the tariffs. They're still with the president. But they also want the president to know that, hey, you got to help us sustain this fight. And the president, I believe, has said that the revenue that comes from the tariffs, he's going to drive that back into agriculture. And then it's our job to make sure it also goes to specialty crops like ginseng and like cranberries to make sure that, again, a political war that China's fighting against President Trump doesn't take my farmers out. And if that happens, they agree with the policies. They agree with what the president has done, but they can't lose their businesses in the process.
Follow-up then. Can they wait when we lost more than 600 Wisconsin dairy farms last year? How long can they stay on margins and remain in existence?
So first of all, trade is, I think, a smaller part of dairy. We have a supply and demand problem, right? I mean, we produce a lot of milk. Our cows are more productive. As the old saying goes, when times are good, we milk more cows, and when times are bad, we milk more cows,
yes.
Right? And so there's a different set of issues that we have to look at with regard to farming, dairy farming, I should say, to make sure we support our Wisconsin farmers. A little bit different than the trade issue, I think. Now, I would just note that we do sell a lot of milk into Mexico. The USMCA did not, there was the old NAFTA bill, did not necessarily address milk because they put tariffs on our milk because of the steel and aluminum tariffs. You just heard recently that we're negotiating a deal with China and Mexico on steel and aluminum, which should actually allow us to get that milk back into Mexico. And I think that'll also help our farmers.
You just took the tariffs off aluminum from steel.
So that's a big deal for dairy. And, I mean, for me, it's a big deal. I mean, a huge part of our economy is for dairy farmers. I work with them and go, listen, what solutions do we have? What ideas do you have? How do we package those, you know, into legislation to make sure that that we have as large of a market as possible to sell as much milk as possible and sustain those farms.
As a supporter of President Trump, how do you react to 24 Democrats now running against him?
What's the question?
How do you react to that?
I think it's kind of what we had in the last race. We had a lot of Republicans that ran against really Hillary Clinton. Yeah, I think the problem that Democrats face is, you know, the more radical wing, the socialist wing of the Democrat Party, it has consumed all the candidates. And so you say one radical thing, and every other candidate jumps behind that one radical thing. What we're going to let, you know, terror convicts that are U.S. citizens vote in American elections? I mean, this is crazy stuff. Free everything. I mean, Bernie Sanders has said that the American dream is more alive in Venezuela than in America. That was about 8 years ago. They don't believe in some European-style socialism. They believe, as Bernie Sanders has even said, in the Cuban Revolution, in the Venezuelan Revolution. They believe in that style of socialism, which ruins economies. What we have done is actually help lift more people up. We have more opportunity, more jobs in Wisconsin than we have people to fill those jobs. You see wages rising for everybody and rising for people who didn't even graduate from high school. At all levels, we're doing better in the state, and it's because policies that feed into this idea of freedom and free enterprise and self-determination as opposed to an abusive, oppressive regulatory government that doesn't allow you to use your God-given talents and skills to innovate, create, and sell products that come from the communities that represent this whole state.
Seventh District farmers need immigrants to stay in business.
Yep.
So how do we resolve this impasse?
How much time do you have?
We've only got a few minutes.
I'll be quick.
Do you support the president's merit-based policy that he announced, sir?
Yes, I do. So, but just quickly, I was just at the border.
Thank you.
You have immigrants that are coming across the border, and all they have to have is a child with them because you can only keep a child for 20 days. So if you come with a child, we don't have child separation. So folks are just in the droves being released into our country. The system's broken. If Democrats, and they know, we all have worked together on this, it's far more bipartisan than you would think, and your viewers would believe. The bottom line is, if we can secure the border, and I believe that means fixing the asylum laws.
This
is just the laws.
Okay.
If you stop incentivizing people to bring kids up as a golden ticket into the country, you protect kids. You stop so many women from being raped and abused on this dangerous journey. So in part, it's changing the law. In part, it's borders. But if you do that, then there's wider agreement on we should deal in a fair way with the people who are here, who are working, that are paying their taxes, haven't committed any other crime, that come in here unlawfully.
And the DACA?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Deal with them fairly. And whether the debate is probably, do you make them citizens or do you give them legal status? But people will figure out a way to let folks stay. Now, you committed crimes, we're going to get you out. After that, we need to have a work visa system so we can get people into the country. You don't have to take a 1,500-mile walk up from Guatemala. You can get on a plane and fly here for a job, right? And then, you know, when the economy turns, we have an outflow of people as well, and we reserve those jobs for the American people. Then we have an E-Verify system that makes sure that it's only lawful people here who are working, but you're able to bring the talent in. The president's right when he says, you know, it's un-American that you get to come to our country just based on who you know. We are successful as a country because it's on merit, not on relationships. So we want to bring in more people with merit, higher skills, and still let people bring in family members who are, whether it's a parent, you know, or a sibling or a child, but you can't bring in your aunts and your uncles and your cousins. That's going to end, and we're going to reserve more of those spots for the higher skill labor, the people that we educate at MIT and Harvard and Stanford who want to stay in America, but because of our immigration laws, we send them back to China or India, and they start their business there. Let's let those smart people that we educate in our institutions, let them stay here. Start the business here, and I think the president is spot on that front.
Last question, politics. Your name has been mentioned in connection running for governor. Although the executive residence would have to be expanded now that you're having your ninth child, are you considering running for governor?
You know, I have a race for Congress in 2020. I am focused on that. I got to tell you what, I don't know what I'm going to do. except run for Congress in 2020. We have a baby coming, as you mentioned. We're
number
excited.
Nine. Congratulations.
I got a little gray hair to have, you know, a ninth child, but we're excited. Our kids are excited. And so I don't know what the future holds for me, but I am running for Congress and looking forward to it. And who knows?
The executive residence doesn't have room for nine children, Congressman.
I might need to have an extension if I go there, but my house doesn't hold nine kids, so I got problems no matter where I go, right?
What about U.S. Senate, if Mr. Johnson doesn't see
that? In all honesty, I haven't thought that far ahead. I'm focused on running for Congress. People have mentioned that. It's flattering, but I haven't considered those things at all.
Congressman Sean Duffy.
Thanks, Steve.
Thanks for your time.
Thank you.